Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I think he has a leg up. I think he's got a little bit of an advantage.
You're going to trigger somebody.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it is his job to lose. I'm stating it to you right now. And I'm stating this, Mike, because the coach yesterday, I think, gave him an edge. We're talking about Kevin Stefanski saying that Tua, his accuracy, it's God-given. When the coach starts to say these kinds of things, Mike, tell me whatever you want about Michael Penix Jr., which I hope he comes back and is able to compete. But right now, Tua, it's his job to lose.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's got the leg up on a competition. He's got two legs at work. Penix is getting the leg that's not working back to 100%. That's the fact. So, you know, and by the way, I'm just going to say this now and get this out of the way.
What are you going to say?
F your feelings with Penix. F your feelings. I'm sorry. I'm sick of this crap. If we can't have a legitimate conversation without you guys getting all triggered like little fanboys. He's my quarterback. All right, he hasn't done anything yet. He may be a great quarterback. He may turn into a franchise quarterback. But right now, he's got a disadvantage. And hopefully that will change if you are a Penix fan, and I want to see the guy succeed too. But I'm sick and tired of every time we go down this road, you guys are talking. No, we're just hitting you with reality checks, okay? Here's where we are right now, getting into like the first day of June. Things will probably change by the first day of August, and we will report what we know then, right? Right now, we're going, as Carl just said, with the coach saying, hey, give us some glowing reviews for a guy who's getting paid $1 million who has a chance to earn a starting job here.
Does accuracy matter to you? Because the way I look at this is I need a guy to be able to put the ball where I want it. And for everybody that wants to talk about, you know, I prefer to have a guy that can throw the ball deep, because I think Michael Penix probably throws a better deep ball, be honest with you.
Yeah.
But we haven't been able to do that. We haven't had explosive plays down the field. Name them. It starts with Bijan Robinson running the football. We didn't have big explosive plays 50, 60, 70 yards down the field last year. So when we talk about do you like accuracy and does it matter? Yeah, it matters, because that turns a 10-yard gain, Mike, into a 20-yard gain. It turns a 20-yard gain into a 30-yard gain. And so for Tua, I just want to say this. This is who he's been in his career, guys. When he was at Alabama, you know what his percentage was? Completion rate? 69%.
Right.
Then he gets to the NFL, Mike, and, you know, the worst year is 64%. This guy's been a 68% guy since he got into the league. So our coach is not lying. He's not pumping this up. He's not making it more than what it is. What he is seeing is what Tua has been in his career since he got into the league. And so I only bring this up to say, that's a big deal when you tell me my quarterback is accurate. How many times have you watched quarterbacks in the NFL? Mike and I come back in here off of a Sunday, and we're like, whoa, he was terrible. He couldn't deliver the football. So this is important. And if he's getting in more work right now, which he is, coach said he's been impressive, not my words, his, in the meeting room and as far as the practice field. He's got the leg up.
Right. Now, again, when Michael Penix Jr. can do all those things, do the 11-on-11 drills, and then show that he can now adapt and he has sponged up everything that Stefanski wants him to learn with the nuances of his offense. And again, both guys do have to learn more about backing up on from under center. That wasn't something that Tua did a lot of either. So there are things that both guys have to learn. It is kind of funny. You know, Tua is saying all the right things. Penix is saying all the right things. Mutual appreciation. It's still a competition. We'll play some audio later for you. There's a competition up in Minnesota where they asked Kyler Murray, because, yeah, man, you know, 7-year veteran, and I'm here to, you know, give him assistance, and, you know, he has questions, and it's great. You know, he's and meanwhile, they asked J.J. McCarthy, no, we're at the blackboard with the, no, I don't know what it is. Basically, it's like, no, I'm just here to compete. I don't know anything about being mentored by Kyler Murray. It was kind of, now that, see, is something you can have some fun with and really, and run with it. We haven't gotten there yet because one guy is still not on the level playing field with Tua.
No doubt. And by the way, I don't think Kyler Murray is trying to help him at all.
No.
At all. And JJ needs it.
Right. And I do think, and that's why I was joking with you. I mean, like, I'm looking forward to talking to Tua face to face. I think Tua is a really good politician. He tells you what you want to hear.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. whoa, you meant person.
Politician.
Person much is the like, P word.
Much like Russell Wilson, much like Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray,
person.
Kyler Murray was lying to the media up in Minnesota because he's trying to create a great impression. And again, he's trying to battle the impression that he was kind of a selfish guy that wasn't dedicated when he was there.
I like the other P word, Mike. Person.
He's a politician. Tua knows what to say. He knows how to play the game.
No, this is ridiculous.
He has sucked you in.
This is ridiculous.
With his eyes and his wonderful fortune cookie-like sayings, he has sucked you in.
I know you will. I know I will. I know we will. You think I've been sucked in? I want you to hear Lewis Riddick on ESPN talking about the same situation that I'm laying out for you guys. Listen to this.
Laura, I think we know that the kind of things that held Tua back were not because he didn't have the requisite skill or like mental horsepower to get the job done. One, he couldn't stay healthy on the football field. And two, the things around him, whether it be true complimentary play calling when he was down there in Miami, or there was a deficiency on the offensive line, or the wide receivers down in Miami were hurt and they weren't all on the field at the same time. You know, those were the kind of things that really held him back. It wasn't because you looked at Tua and you thought, man, this guy doesn't process well enough. He doesn't move in the pocket well enough. He doesn't have enough arm strength or accuracy. He has all that. It's just that it didn't come together for him. So I can see why Kevin Stefanski sounds like he's sitting there going, hey, if this guy's healthy, we got an offensive line and a running game, and we can throw the football, you know, in the play-action pass game, I may have something here. That's not shocking. That's not shocking considering that Bijan is a great run threat, obviously, a great receiver, obviously. Drake London is a great outside line receiver, obviously. Zachariah Branch could wind up being one of those revelations of the draft out of Georgia who you know well as a home run hitter in the slot position with home run speed. Yeah, look, I personally think Tua should win this job. All things being equal, no disrespect to Michael Penix, Tua is a fantastic passer. If he can stay on the football field and they can play complimentary football, I think he wins this job going away.
It's not just me. That's Lewis Riddick, and he laid out all the things I've been telling Mike about Miami. It was a blank show down there.
Right. Well, again, he was the quarterback. He was the guy delivering the football. He was the guy that, you know, before all those things happened, you know, a guy who was able to put some good seasons together. Now, I guess I'll take Lewis at face value on that. The thing that and the stat that points out where we may be going with this argument and maybe buoys Lewis's argument.
Yeah.
Completion percentage last year in the NFL. With all the things in the benching, Tua was still eighth in the league.
It's a big deal.
67.7%, eighth in the league. Where was Michael Penix Jr.?
50s.
32nd.
50s.
Yeah. He was 32nd in the league rankings. If you think of all the guys that played quarterback last year. So that's where the accuracy's got to get better. That goes back to the scouting report you and I were talking about yesterday. He's got to be more accurate, as a friend Tarkin was saying. Got to be more accurate.
Yes.
And Tua's already there. Now the question is, who wins the race to pick up the things that Stefanski asks of you in his offense? But this is why, guys, right now I can see the text come, you're crapping. Now, see, that none of that was crapping on Penix. We're just talking about the positives of where Tua is and things that Penix has to get to. Penix hasn't gotten to where Tua's baseline is yet. It's not hating. That's facting. How does that evolve in the next months or so? And when camp is really cooking, that's going to be the question. We'll all be watching. But that's the disadvantage he's at that you cannot deny, right?
No. And by the way,
team winning Super Bowl. I think that'd be amazing.
Team player.
Whether I'm the guy or whether I'm not the guy, I think that'd be unbelievable. And any way I can help make that happen, I'm excited to be here for that.
Team player. Just puts aside all his differences.
I mean, that's Norman Vincent Peale, the power of positive thinking. Winning over friends and influencing others right there.
You know what? It doesn't even matter if I'm doing it.
That's Dale Carnegie 101, Carl.
I'm just going to be a part of it, and that's special. 404-726-0929.
Can I just tell you one thing before you finish giving the number out?
Yeah, man.
I just want to be the best Mike Bell I can be today.
I know you do. And you know what? I need you to be the best Mike Bell you can be today. Just like the Falcons need Tua to be the best he can
potentially
be.
And when it's bad, you continue to be grateful.
Right on.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay the course. 404-726-0929. That is the number. It's his job to lose. You don't want to believe it, but everybody's talking about it. Now, let's hear from Tua himself yesterday because he spoke. And Mike and I have a bunch of audio to play for you coming back from yesterday. We got coaches' audio from Jeff Ulbrich. We got Bill Callahan, the new offensive line coach. We got a lot of stuff to get to. But Tua said, look, accuracy is just a part of being a quarterback.
I would say it's one of them. It's definitely one of them. Being able to distribute the ball to your playmakers, being a leader is another aspect of that. Regardless of what that looks like, whether you're a rah-rah guy or you're a lead-by-example guy, I think there's many attributes and many traits that you can sort of put on that outside of just, you know, being accurate is what makes a good quarterback.
Yeah, look, we know this, right? You've watched football long enough. We've been around it long enough. As a fan, you're a lifelong fan. You know a good quarterback when you see one. But there are things behind the scenes. Like, everybody thought Matt Ryan was too quiet. Talk to people who played with Matt Ryan, he wasn't. Matter of fact, Kyle Pitts today said he's still the same Matt. And guess what? He still comes at you and tells you exactly what he thinks. Kyle Pitts played with him his first year. So there are things behind the scenes that quarterbacks have to do. Mike, we think Michael Penix is well-liked and received by his team. As a matter of fact, we know.
We saw it. We were on the field seeing those guys. I mean, like, everybody loves him. Jesse Bates, remember, we said, that's my war dog. We were talking about him when Penix was. The guys like Michael because he's a likable guy. We don't dislike Michael. We're just giving you the reality of the situation, the quarterback battle. You know, which, again, for some reason, it doesn't penetrate the craniums of some of our audience. I just want to let you guys know, and Carl's doing a pretty good job of having fun with it, and some of you guys have no sense of humor, so when we joke around about T-U-A, guys, just lose it. Guys, Penix has got a long road and an uphill battle to win this quarterback job. That doesn't mean he can't. That doesn't mean I just said he won't, or I'm not wishing for him to not make it. But that's what we've been throwing at you. And, Carl, when you hear guys around the league and hear the way Stefanski was talking about him yesterday, it does kind of – you got to be really thick to not pick up the vibe they're putting down.
He's ahead of the game. One last thing as we get into what you think about this. And, look, I'm not the only one. But you may be like, you know what, Dukes, you're completely wrong. They're doing all this, and at the end of the day, Penix is going to start week one. And if he does, let me tell you something. He has had a hell of a camp.
And he's earned it.
And he's earned it.
Right.
And you know what? I will respect him more for it, Mike, than the way the last regime just handed him the job, even though they said that wasn't the plan. Here's Drake London talking about Tua fitting in.
He's a great dude. Always got a smile on his face. Very, very chill. Throw up the shaka a little bit, and we get rolling. So, he's a great dude, and him and MP are getting along very, very well, and both of them are just competing and working really hard together, and I love it.
That's great. Drake's like, as long as y'all can deliver me the ball, I don't give a damn who it is back there. All right,
there was my contract.
Exactly, I don't
he
care.
Didn't say that.
You know, no. I'm looking at $35 million, right?
Well, that's you and I said that's the right number. But yeah, and see, him and MP are working out. It's good, guys. It's going to work itself out. And some of you guys are going to be laughing at some of the stuff you were freaking out over. Certainly if Penix wins this job, and we've never said he can't win this job. That's another thing. You and I have never ever on the show once said he can't win this job.
No, I'm just giving Tua an opportunity, and the more that door opens, the more you see and hear that he's capable, that this might really happen. And that's the illusion, Mike, that I think people don't want to face is, well, we got him, $4 million. He's going to be a backup. He'll come in here. He won't do crap. And it's Penix's team. No, he's 27, 28 years old. He wants another bag.
Yeah. And you can look at the completion percentage with the exception of last year, how it wound down and the year that he missed time with a concussion. This guy throws a lot of touchdowns. He throws 2-1 touchdowns to interceptions. The completion percentage we already talked about.
Mike, he can play.
And the ball comes out on schedule, on target. And something that Penix struggled with last year was the reliability of accuracy. So that's something he's going to have. There's a lot of things that's why we keep talking about. He's going to have to work on. The other thing is this organization. Now, this is just me. Okay, this is my spidey sense. They're never going to go out and say anything negative. Why would they about Michael Penix? There's no reason to. They might not believe in Penix. They think they got a really inexpensive stopgap in Tua. Mm-hmm. And as you said, if we luck out and Tua just finds and regains his, take 2 or 3 years back, that kind of game, then we got a really good problem to have. And then we'll talk about what his new contract looks like here. And Penix Jr. stays here as a backup for 2 more years.
All right, I'm going to tell you something you absolutely don't want to hear about Michael Penix when we come back. 404-726-0929. I'm going to tell you when we come back exactly. I'm going to jump onto what Mike's talking about. And if you miss this next comment, it's your fault. It's Dukes and Bell. Happy Thursday. Coming up, we'll talk with Mike Griffith from Dog Nation in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll get all his thoughts about SEC spring meetings and what's going down. Mike, did you see where Greg Sankey basically came out and said, SEC, we're still the strongest football league by far. The SEC hasn't won the national championship in 3 years. And, look, I know it was dominant. There was a 15-year period, right, Mike, where it's why we are, the you know, talk about the SEC the way we do. But I can't say that after these last 3 years, and I'm not. None of my teams have played in the national championship game.
Right.
And we haven't won one. I'm just, you know, and Sankey, again, I felt like, you tell me, all week he's kind of pulling out, you know, he's pounding his chest all week. We'll leave. I mean, you want to mess with the SEC? We'll be a league of our own. I mean, like, everything he was saying this week.
And that just seems ridiculous. I mean, that's just, okay, so we're going to crown our own, the Southeastern champion will be the,
it's ridiculous.
I mean, the champion of the part of the country. It just, it doesn't fly. And ESPN's like, what are you talking about? I mean, and the thing, he's put out a lot of fires this week. You know, he had coaches saying that they were sold on a 9-game playoff format because it would be 16, and now, you know, now we're going to stick at 12. Maybe jump to 24. Then you had the Arkansas thing yesterday where their AD comes out going, scheduling's ridiculous. ESPN is killing us because they've got to play in Utah at, like, you know, 9 o'clock at night. And then they got to zip all the way back in basically a 6-day work week to get ready for Athens and the Dogs. So he's got a lot of stuff. And it just sounded like, you know, and John Summerall, who just come to the conference basically saying that, you know, yeah, it seems like these guys, you know, sold a bill of goods. It's like, what? So, yeah, he doesn't really seem like he's got the support of the I don't know. It's certainly everybody's all this. I say what I say is all the ships going in the same direction, and you need this. You want to have like solidarity if you're going toe to toe with seemingly the Big Ten.
Yeah, it's there was, and just to give you guys an idea, I mean, because we live here, we live in it, and obviously it's all about the SEC. But 16 of the 17 national championships, when you go back from 06 to 2022, the only year that didn't include an SEC team was 2014. So. He's not lying. We have been right. The dominant conference. But the reality is right now, the Big Ten is 4-0, Mike, versus SEC over the past three seasons in head-to-head college football playoff action.
Indiana humiliated Alabama, right? Last time I checked, that happened.
It happened.
I told A-Day I was just up, you know, in Indy for the 500, so I'm in the heart of Hoosier country, and they're chirping. Look, to the victor go the spoils. That's what they can chirp all they want. You know, we can all joke around about, well, let's see if it's sustainable. Who gives a crap? You know, Georgia fans are starting to look around like, well, it's been 3 years since we won a national championship. They got spoiled, and basically the ground has shifted underneath you. You know, Kirby is kind of holding on to an older business model. We'll talk about it with Mike Griffith coming up at 4. But, you know, it's funny because everyone's saying, oh, SEC finally dropping their patty cakes. Well, yeah, their patty cake the week before their big rivalry game schedule. The Big Ten, once Michigan plays Oklahoma and Ohio State plays Texas this year, they go back to what they've always done across the board, like Indiana. Their out-of-conference is insanely ridiculously low-rated. So, you know, it's all MAC schools and directional schools, and unfortunately that's going to be the path for the SEC as well.
Yeah, man. I think, again, they're going to come to some resolution with what the exact number is going to be. Everybody will be happy. It's going to be, Mike, either 16 or 24. I don't think it's going to be 18 and there'll be some kind of compromise. I do think that the bigger number ultimately is going to win out. But they'll come to the right compromise. I just feel like this is an opportunity this week with the meetings going on and the coaches speaking, Mike, for everybody to just kind of pound their chest a little bit and say, hey,
right,
and this is what we believe in. This is what I think. And you let it out there, and then you let people talk about it, and I think that's what Sankey's doing. But I just thought that whole thing about, you know, SEC is still the best league by far.
Well, like I said, you got to be on top of the mountain. I mean, you know, it's we Clemson. Look what Clemson's been dealing with.
Yep.
You know, it sort of became a birthright for them. They started acting like Alabama fans, and all of a sudden, whoa, you know, Dabo loses his elite, you know, his top of the world assistants, and all of a sudden the results aren't the same. Not to mention dragging his feet with the portal, and now they're in it. So you've really got to adapt. Now, look, can Kirk Cignetti keep this going? Right now, I think you and I talked about it, the Indiana recruiting for next year. Is it like 40th? Sometimes, you know, it varies, guys, from Rivals 24/7, but it's not in the top 25. You know, George is at 16. You know, that's got people going, what? You know, so if you're going to live by that transfer portal sword, you die by it. See Mike Norvell at FSU.
Yeah. The thing is, if you're going to live that way, Mike, you better get the right quarterback every year.
Right.
And that's the gamble.
And if you don't have that, you're dead.
You're dead.
And FSU has not had that since they never had that, honestly, since the portal shenanigans started.
And that's the thing that Cignetti got right, right? He got the Mendoza kid. We now know he had other options and all that stuff. But then you find out Mark Cuban was paying him a little extra, and it paid off.
Right.
Right.
Meanwhile, you know, Texas Tech, their quarterback, they're gonna sue to get the money back from him. They're going to pay him $6 million. He already owes Cincinnati boosters $1 million, apparently. That kid's going to be in court. You know, once he gets done with his gambling rehab, he's going to be in court, seemingly, for the next 3 years.
Hey, man, tonight we get game six. It's a must win for the Spurs. It's a closeout game for OKC. It's on Peacock, Mike. OKC is favored, or should I say the Spurs are favored by 3.5 points, if you're into those kinds of things. I think, and I said to you today, look, if I'm OKC, I don't want a game seven. I don't even care if it's on my home floor. This Wimby thing is so unpredictable.
Right.
He could have 50. I mean, I don't know even if I want to try to deal with that. I approach this as we got to win tonight. And not like, hey, we're going to go back home and win this. Because sometimes I think teams have done that, Mike, where you just feel like you have an advantage. Okay, they'll win the night. The momentum will be in their corner, and then we'll go home and win. I'm okay. See, I'm trying to finish this thing tonight. The problem is the Spurs, every time they get home, man, they get a boost. And Wimby, right, coming off the whole I didn't speak to the media thing, who knows what you're going to get tonight. Maybe he's super motivated and comes out and has that first quarter like he did in game four.
Well, the conversation apparently with Greg Popovich with him to about, you know, here's what you got to do. You and I said it all day yesterday. Stop shooting all those threes, especially if they're not dropping. You know, if I'm the Spurs, I get Wemby in the paint and I get him to the free throw line because the refs are not going to allow the Thunder to mug him at home.
That's right.
Right?
That's and right.
I don't think they will. I think, you know, it's the NBA. You know, and by the way, you see in Adam Silver, they're going to go to AI.
Yeah,
you see this next year?
It's nuts.
So, look, one thing we know, the reviews take forever. Baseball's got the, you know, the balls and strikes down to, like, I got to give them credit. The technology is working really well. The NBA just stops the game in its tracks, and it takes forever. So they're saying that AI is going to be able to judge it in real time, and you'll know. All right. Second time I made that. So we'll see about that. But, yeah, but tonight – it was what? Thunder 127-114, and they basically led from start to finish. Never really felt threatened, I thought, in game five.
I didn't either.
And now I just think that the Spurs have got to get Wemby in the paint. Period.
It's going to be interesting. By the way, that'll be the criticism,
right,
if they do lose. And let's just say tonight he has a, you know, because here's the deal. He had 20 in the last game, but it was a quiet 20, right?
Right.
12 of those 20 points were free throws. If he has another similar kind of game tonight where he's not aggressive, Mike, and then he's not in the paint, that's going to be the criticism of Mitch Johnson, the head coach, that, you know what, you had arguably the best player in the series, and you didn't use him the right way.
And I understand the spacing before you go Rick Camelot on me. No! It's just, if you have, you want Wemby to draw the defenders out to the perimeter, and then Stephon Castle's got, whoosh, then he's got, the guys like that have the lane to get to the paint. But there's, tell me, you two things can't work at the same time with Wemby getting to the line?
What do you want to add,
Dana? Oh, no, I was going to say he's also got to step up defensively, too. I saw some breakdowns today where it's like, bro, you're too long to feel like you got to cheat to one side.
So let me ask you this, because this is what they're saying in San Antonio.
He's tired.
This is the first
time.
This is the first time in his career where he's gone this far. And his legs are giving out on him.
Yeah.
So what you're seeing, that cheating is, I ain't going all the way over there. I'm not going all the way. I'm going to be right here. They're going to have to call that illegal defense on me. I don't know if it's true, but that's what they're saying down there. And they're saying, you know, how do you combat that? You don't.
No.
But it's just something you got to play through. But that's the thing a lot of times with young guys. You know, when the Hawks got blown out, that was kind of the deal. Well, not only were we outclassed, but, you know, maybe the young guys are a little tired. I don't know, but if that's the case, it's going to be interesting to see what happens tonight. 404-726-0929. That, again, is a game six. Mm. Knicks are just chilling, Mike, and waiting on the winner.
Yeah. By the way, Spurs 2.5-point favorite tonight.
Yeah, I said three. I said three and a half.
I just saw it 2.5. Okay. I don't know if it's moved. You could be more current than I am.
Would you like me to put that down as we get ready for next year?
Yes. I'm definitely
betting. Go ahead and start on one again, Carl.
No, I'm betting the Spurs. If I was a betting man, I am. I put money on the Spurs tonight.
No, they're at home. It's just.
I think the NBA wants seven.
I do,
and you're going to get seven.
I do, too.
Who's reffing tonight?
Yes.
Well, that's even a better question.
Did I get on that?
That's a better question.
I got 27 windows open on my laptop. So as far as the Knicks, Anunoby, and again, that was the big concern the last time. So he was able to get healthy. They're going to be rested and good to go. And now just imagine what does Coach Brown do to, you know, I don't think you overthink it. We'll do simulated games at the Garden.
No, they got time off once they swept the Sixers.
Right. So they just have to wait. And that was the thing. They got Anunoby healthy to go do his thing against Cleveland. This is going to be... I think it's no matter what, whoever comes out of the West, I think this is going to be dynamic.
I do too.
Style makes the fight. I think you get a great fight from both potential matchups.
Hey, we got to mention this because the Braves wrap up their series with the Red Sox last night, Mike.
A disaster.
Yeah, Elder, you know, when he's got it up in the zone, it's very hittable. You know, it's not elite velocity. You know that. The sinker, and again, I thought CJ nailed it. They mislocated some pitches and they took him to task. And the Braves just can't hit. You know, we can still win the series this afternoon, take another 2 out of 3, but the bats are decidedly cool, and you missed that spark without Drake Baldwin in the lineup. And Ronald's got to get it cooking.
I agree. He's got to – I keep waiting for him to go on like this tear. You know what I mean? Like a 2-week tear where he's just knocks the cover off the ball, hits multiple home runs, you know. Like I just haven't felt that yet with Ronald.
Right. And I saw Mark Bowman had this tweet today from MLB saying that, you know, if you go back and look at all – it basically gave you plays with really slow starts, and then things got going. Like when Soler got here, he couldn't hit for the first month and a half.
That's true.
And I was like – so I have that meme of the kid going, okay. Because I've just – Hassan Kim. Look, this guy already got – again, he was put on waivers, basically cut by the Rays last summer because they didn't want to eat that – they wanted to deal with the contract. They saw we're not going to get performance out of this contract. The Rays ate that. And I don't know where the Braves are going to go. But I mean, he looks like lost in space, Carl. He has no plan at the dish right now.
The good news is today it's Chris Sale. So hopefully he'll get us back going. And again, they can still win the series, and all things are right in the world.
Right now, be sitting out there out by the bullpen, cheap seats. You know, can't believe we traded this guy.
Oh, I know.
For Vaughn effing Grissom.
And then
who's now on the Angels.
That's right. And then there'll be somebody going, but he was hurt. It's
like, we traded Chris Sale. We traded Mookie Betts. We had Bregman for a year. We lost Divas. It's like everything you could screw up, the Red Sox did.
What if, right?
Right.
That's what that.
But the Mookie Betts has got to be the dump. That's got to be one of the dumbest trades in the last 25 years.
I don't disagree, man. And he's put on a couple of rings out there in L.A. All right, coming up, we got a lot more to dive into. We will follow up on the big news from the Atlanta Hawks yesterday, because now we got to talk about some meat and potatoes. And we're going to help you break it down in the 3 o'clock hour. Also, we'll get into what's going on around the NFL. As we said yesterday, the Falcons are not the only team in OTAs for the second week. A bunch of teams around the league are participating, and we're seeing all kind of story lines come out, Mike, including that storyline about when is this Eagles-Patriots trade going to happen. We told you June 1, right?
Post-June 1.
That's right. It's going to happen. It just hasn't happened yet because of the money that's involved. And then also Jalen Hurts was speaking about his relationship with A.J. Brown yesterday, and you brought this up. Does the other guy have to help you if you're vying for the same job? Because that's what's going on in Minnesota. And look, they brought in Kyler Murray. Technically, Mike, for what they're paying him, he's going to be the star.
Yeah, I get Oren to find that audio because it is gold. And somebody put it together where they have Kyler Murray speaking, and then you hear J.J. McCarthy speaking. And it's basically two completely different takes. And basically, JJ saying nothing matching at all what Kyler Murray said about their relationship at minicamp.
The energy isn't the same. The energy with Tua and Penix has been the same. That's the difference. When you're listening to those two guys talk about, hey, it's competition, but we're you know, helping each other and doing the best we can. Like, there's a different feel. We'll get into that as we go around the NFL in our 4th and 1 segment. Hit us up, guys, 404-726-0929. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a comment or two about Tua's job to lose, you call us.
Oof.
Tell us we're wrong, because we're not.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.